What are you doing?
I'm reversing the polarity of my ultrasonic screwdriver's power source.
Reverse the polarity.
Reverse the polarity.
I just reversed the polarity.
Welcome to the Fan of the Fool, everyone. I'm the fan, Matt Antonelli.
I'm the fool, Alex Cameron.
Officially start episode new one now.
What are we watching today, Matthew? Before we do that, we have segments.
Go on.
Is it Doctor Who?
Who?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so I thought I'd just ease you back into it.
Cool.
So this is a Doctor Who
item.
I ordered it from England, Great Britain,
yeah,
Wales, wherever Doctor Who is. I am a fan.
In space and
time. I am a fan. I swear it's Wales. It is Wales.
Oh, geez.
So for those of you who listen to this a lot, you know that I love me some Big Finish audio Doctor Who dramas.
Yes.
So this is a limited edition vinyl of what, Alex?
Doctor Who, The Lord Victorious, Echoes of Extinction.
That's his time, not
the... Oh, sorry. Time Lord Victorious. It's an audio drama, but it's on vinyl.
It's on vinyl.
It looks like it's a double.
If I flip it this way... Oh. So, who's in the front of the moment?
Paul McGann.
Paul McGann, you're correct.
I read that. I only know one Doctor. I keep telling you this.
And then, if I flip it around this way... What's that look like?
Ooh. It's got the same name, and it's David Tennant.
Yeah, so it's a two-parter.
Right.
In fact, if I pull it out of here,
careful,
very gently.
Oh, it's fancy. So it's half red, it's half blue. It looks like a Pokeball, is basically how I would describe it. You know how it opens up?
Yeah, no, I know a Pokeball, but Pokeball's grey and red, not blue and red.
No.
I'm literally the fan of this show.
I'm also a massive nerd. I just wanted to say it because it sounded funny.
So it actually says in the middle, the 8th Doctor, and the other side says the 10th Doctor.
Oh, nice.
So you can listen to it in any order. Basically, if you are the 10th Doctor, if you listen to the 10th Doctor side, he rocks up to a planet that's been like destroyed. And he's like, what happened here? But if you listen to the 8th Doctor's one, he's like, I've arrived at this planet. Let's
destroy it.
Yeah, basically. So it's got a really good story. It's got some other Doctor Who actors in it. So David Tennant's in it. Arthur Darvill's in it, who you'll meet later. And Torchwood actor Burns Gorman is in it.
Mm-hmm.
Burn Gorman. The guy that's in The Dark Knight that we always often talk about.
Oh, yes. I know who you mean.
The guy that's like...
Don't snap his neck, Bane. He's my friend.
And then... He's in front of old mate Scarecrow Face. Scarecrow. And he's all like, I choose exile.
Oh.
And then he goes out on the ice.
Yes.
And sunk.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what I bought. I also bought something else with it, but I'm going to save that for another time.
Ooh.
So you can be like, "What is that Doctor Who or not?" And I'll be like, yes, because it came with this.
Cool. Question, have you listened to these yet?
Yeah.
Okay, well, because this is a double segment, because not only is it Who is Doctor Who, is it Doctor Who, whatever we call this segment.
Is it Doctor Who?
Who? This can also be Matthew's brief spoiler-free review of audio drama times two.
It's really good.
Which one?
So...
Oh. Are you saying there's two Doctors, which will be relevant to our discussion later?
It's funny, so you'll... you'll learn this as we get, because the 8th Doctor is only in, I think I might have said to you before.
I know that.
He's only in the movie, which is one, like, 90-minute episode, basically. It's a TV movie. So, like, 90 minutes. It's not a good movie.
Oh.
I don't feel anything super positive about it, but I do like Paul McGann to the extent that he is... Definitely my favourite Doctor.
Oh, okay.
So him as an actor, great. Now...
He must have made quite an impression if you've had only 90 minutes of him and he's your favourite.
Oh, but he does so many audio plays. Mm. So many. So many. And he really, like... He obviously had places he wanted to take the character if they had made a proper TV show.
Right.
And he really gets to go to those places in those audio plays. So this one's probably a bit darker. He's a bit like, oh yeah. Like, because the universe is a little bit on fire. So he's like, guess I have to fix this up.
Bing bong.
But he's probably, and we'll get to it, like one of the most tragic characters in Doctor Who too. Which is probably why I like him, because he's like, has a very long story arc, and you see his character like fully develop over all those radio plays.
That's cool.
Now, David Tennant.
Yes.
He's been doing a lot of these lately, because one, he's a super Doctor Who fan, and two, COVID's still like a massive thing in, I mean, it's still a massive thing generally, but in Britain, it's like,
yeah,
you know, you still can't travel very much.
Pretty debilitating.
So he's like made a, he's got like a studio in his house now, and he records these from his house.
Nice.
So he does a whole heap of these, and that's Arthur Darvill. He does a lot of Doctor Who stuff too. It looks like they just put his head on top of a picture of a soldier, but that's probably true.
It looks like they put his face over the Halo helmet, man.
Oh, who's that guy called? Master Chief.
Yeah. I think.
And this is Bern Gorman. Oh. You can't see him because he's not real there.
He's a star man.
He's a star man.
Wow.
I literally just saw a fan-made trailer for Doctor Who that has Starman and that thing in it.
Really?
Yeah, so it's stuck in my head. Because I have some Doctor Who news. Oh, should I rate this first?
Yeah, give it a rating.
I'm going to give it a 9. A Christopher Ooh. Eccleston. In terms of audio, it's good, but I wouldn't say it's incredible.
Okay.
You know? I've got two bits of Doctor Who news.
Doctor Who news.
There's been a current episode.
Oh, Matthew's brief spoiler-free review of current episode.
So there was an episode called Legend of the Sea Devils. But I remember we had this conversation and I was like, oh, there's been like, there's a romance happening. Mm-hmm. And I think someone loves the Doctor, but someone's probably going to get killed.
Yes.
Now, that person hasn't been killed yet.
Oh.
But that romance has kind of developed a little bit.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of nice, but also kind of like, I know Jodie Whittaker's, her next episode is the last episode that she's in.
Oh, okay.
And then it's regeneration time, baby.
And I've seen that they've picked the Doctor, even though I don't really know that news.
Would you like me to quickly...
Well, but keep going with the episode review. We'll get
so
to it.
So, it was very good. It brought back the Sea Devils, which is like a villain from... like a third Doctor episode.
Ooh, so upcoming for us.
Upcoming for us. Very soon, in two Doctors' time. And they looked exactly... like, they looked like you would want to remember them. You know, like... obviously, sometimes we see weird bee costumes in these episodes.
Oh, yes.
But Sea Devils have a very classic, like, distinct look. And all they did was kind of, like, modernize it. So, like, the... the costume looks effectively, like, essentially the same.
Right.
But the actors can actually move properly and do stuff in them.
So, basically, what happened with Batman? One day, they were like, hey, he should be able to move in that costume instead of, like, frozen back in the neck.
Able to also move their mouths and talk properly.
Yeah. That's cool.
So, it was very cool. I think it was maybe, again, a symptom of COVID, but some of the effects just looked a bit... rushed. But the story was very good, and the Sea Devils are trying to like recover something from a town, and there's like a defender of the town who's like, no way, get away from this, is my town, that kind of thing. Basically, like, except with Western, swords,
a Western in space,
yeah,
which is basically, it was actually on Earth. Oh.
The Sea Devils are from our planet. That's not a spoiler. You figure that out the first time you meet them.
Okay. I haven't met them yet, but whatever.
You'll forget by the time we get there. You won't remember listening to this. But anyway, the episode was good. It ends with one of the companions being like, I miss home because of a girl. And one of the companions being like, I never want to leave this doctor. And the doctor being like, I don't know how to be in a relationship because my life is like forever and you guys keep dying.
Just man up and stop dying.
Well, it's more probably because the way she phrases it, the doctor, is like, how is she supposed to like be rooted down somewhere?
Right.
When she's been traveling all over the place and she's had other relationships, which I guess technically haven't ended because of time travel.
Yes, we've talked about that before.
Yeah, it's like, an interesting conundrum. If you get married and then your partner dies, but then you time travel, like if you, not a spoiler, but if two time travelers are in a like relationship,
and purely hypothetically.
Hypothetically, right?
Sure.
And one time traveler sees the other time, like they don't travel together, they travel separately. So they see each other from time to time.
Right.
But then one dies, but they've still traveled through time to points that the other person hasn't traveled to yet. So they'll see them again. You know, and the next time you see them, they'll be like, oh, like I can't tell you you're going to die.
Yeah.
But I know you're going to die. Let's go for a coffee. You know, like...
Or they die. The time lord gets into another relationship. They end up traveling back in time to a time when the first person was still alive. Is that cheating?
Yeah.
Because you're technically... You can never be
in a relationship again. Or you have to stop time traveling.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so the doctor makes a little, like, remark about, like, I can't be tied down anywhere. Because, you know, she's, like, thousands of years old by this point.
Yeah.
And the person that's in love with her is, like, I don't know, late 20s?
Gee, now that's an age gap. That's a serious age gap. That's, like, that's almost a crime. Because if you converted that to human years, that's a problem. Think about it.
I think they did talk about it in human years. So someone's 900, like 1,000 years old.
Yeah.
That's a measurement of time from humans, isn't it?
That's a good point. But what I'm saying is, you divide 1,000 by 10, that's 100 years. Now you've got to divide the other person's age by 10. How old are they? If they were 30, they're now 3. That's a problem.
Awkward. Although she has been with her... Well, now that sounds worse, doesn't it? She's probably early 20s. I think she's been traveling with her for a few years by this point. You don't fully get a scope of how long someone is with the doctor because time does pass between episodes.
Okay.
So stuff happens.
See, we're not experiencing that yet. No. In current Doctor... which for us is the first Doctor, it's literally back-to-back is their life, right?
Yeah.
Unless I think there's maybe one time where it's like, oh, we've been traveling a couple of weeks.
Remember when Vicky first joined and they were like, they were at, was it the Romans, that episode?
Oh, yeah.
Where then they were just like there for months and they built team.
That's true.
That team morale.
So it has already happened a little bit.
Yeah. But I like that there's... like
consequences.
Time that we don't know about. Because then they make an audio play about it.
I like the fact that there's consequences to the time travel and it's not just like, oh, this is fun, let's just make everything fine.
Hmm.
We've already seen that, but yeah.
Bing
bong.
Bing bong. Is that the sound for the next segment?
It will be from now on.
Okay. Are we up to the now episode?
No, don't you want to talk about who they've announced as the next Doctor?
Oh, yeah.
All I know is it's a black guy from the UK who I've never seen in anything before, because I don't watch the only show they ever talk about him being in, which is called Sex Education.
Yeah, I haven't seen that show, and I don't know much about said actor. Is it...
What are your thoughts?
I want to pronounce it right, so I just Google it phonetically.
Google it.
Shuti Gatwa.
Okay.
If I've got that wrong, I'm really sorry. But I'm...
You don't know him personally. It doesn't matter.
I'm like, yeah, cool.
Whatever.
But I'm always like, yeah, cool. Because...
It's very rare that it's like some ultra-famous person, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, when the ninth... I probably wasn't into Doctor Who when they first announced it was coming back in 2005.
Right.
And then I watched a few episodes and that was all about Doctor Who. And went back and watched some classic and watched some new ones. Christopher Eccleston was quite a well-known actor at the time.
Okay.
David Tennant was well-known, but probably only well-known in Britain.
Right.
But, yeah. And, well, in England, I should say. Or whatever. Great Britain. All the countries. That part of the
world. All the Britain.
Shruti Gatwa.
Yes.
Yeah, he was in Sex Education. I haven't watched that show. But Russell T. Davies is coming back as showrunner, like the lead writer of Doctor Who.
Okay.
And he was the one who brought it back in 2005.
Oh.
So everyone's like, oh my gosh, it's
so this is almost like another rebirth of the show.
Yeah, I think they will probably do like a... because it wasn't technically a reboot when it came back, but like, you know, like a soft reboot.
It was away for 9 years or whatever it was.
2005... 1995 to 2011 years.
Okay, that's a reboot.
Before that, it was like 1980 whatever to 1995.
See, if they brought the other guy back and it was like, now I'm going to transform, that then it's not a reboot.
Yeah.
But if they just... Anyway.
So a couple things. The next episode's the centenary special because it's 100 years at BBC.
Nice.
So they're making a 90-minute Doctor Who special where she dies at the end and turns into this guy.
That's a spoiler.
I think it'll be quite good. And then next year, they're doing a 60th anniversary special.
Of the actual show.
And this guy's coming back.
Ooh, David Mr. Tennant.
Because he'll never wants to leave. He is, though, like, he started playing Doctor Who in 2005... And it is now 2022. So, I mean, he still looks good, man. Ooh, yeah.
Ooh.
But I would say these days he looks, maybe because he's a bit older and he's played lots of other characters on TV shows, but his face looks a bit thinner. So I wonder, like, if that will fit into the story somehow, because a whole bunch of actors are coming back for the 60th anniversary.
Oh,
so
okay.
Not just him, companions, and I presume other Doctor Who actors, like the people who have played the Doctor, will come back.
Right.
Maybe not for such like a big role as he might come back, but like cameos and that kind of thing.
I don't think the first Doctor will be there.
Which
is a shame.
You can always get another actor to play him.
That happens in this episode.
To poor effect. How about we...
Extremely poor.
Should we talk about the episode?
If you're ready.
I was born ready.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Next segment.
All right, where were we last time? Because we're halfway through the chase.
We are halfway through the chase. I don't have exactly what happened. I just have that Ian got knocked out again and a Dalek screamed.
They went to the ship and it was the Mary Celeste, you know, the ship that in real life really was abandoned out at sea. That's what happened.
And that's right, because you know our phrase, it is the now, you know.
Yes.
What is actually said on the show is, it's the chase, you know. That's actually said.
And they were 12 minutes ahead, but then they lost that time because
they kept losing time
because they muck around on the ship.
Yeah.
And the Daleks landed on the ship, and everyone on the ship was like, I'm out of this ship. And they all jumped into the water.
Yeah.
And then that's why the ship was abandoned.
Once again, they're responsible for the deaths of many people.
The Daleks?
No, the crew. The TARDIS crew.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I suppose it was the Daleks. They ran away from the Daleks, wasn't it? Not the crew.
Yeah, they were like, we're not... Well, to be fair, they probably could have been like, hey, crew, get inside our small box and we'll save you from your impending doom.
That's true. And they like, just
flew off.
Flying around space with an entire ship's crew as well.
So, the TARDIS lands in a mysterious old house.
Yes, that's all we know for now.
Now, was it mysterious?
By design.
Yes. When they come out of the TARDIS and they're like, oh, check out... You know, I liked what Ian said, which was like, you know, this place is, you know, it looks like it's well fortified. It's a bit whatever. But he said there's stairs here, and Daleks don't like stairs.
Yes.
So I think at this point, they think that the Daleks are going to be able to go upstairs.
Yes.
So I was like, oh, yeah.
They've known that before, right?
But I suppose the only other time they face them, there haven't been stairs.
No, that's true. But so they always try to get to a high spot. They try to get to a high spot.
The Eiffel Tower, they didn't meet in the Eiffel Tower. The Daleks met the weird tourist guy.
It also was the Empire State Building.
What did I say?
Eiffel Tower, because I said it earlier.
Empire State Building.
Yep.
The Daleks met that tourist guy.
Alabama. I think.
A guy that we see again.
Oh.
You might not know, though. You've already seen him come back. In these episodes, you saw him. You've seen him. You've seen him.
I can't even remember this.
You will. I'll remind you. Okay. Just read.
I can't believe we just watched these.
Yeah. He comes back. I'll tell you.
Okay. I believe you.
So they're in the haunted building. They're like stairs, whatevs. And then suddenly, what happens? A bat falls down.
Yes.
On a piece of string.
Very obvious bat on a string.
Now, when that first happened, I was like, oh, it's the 60s and they don't have good special effects.
Yes, me too.
But then things keep happening that look quite bad even for that time. So I think it's supposed to be obviously not real things happening.
Let's explain what we're trying to say.
So to start off with, bat falls on a piece of string.
Yep.
And Barbara's like, ah, a bat. And everyone's like, oh, this place is actually scary.
This is, yeah.
And the doctor and Ian are like, well, the doctor's like, we should go have a look. We won't be very long. And then Ian's like, I guess I have to come with you because you're an old man and you're the only person who can fly the box.
Yeah.
So if you die, we're trapped here. Although I reckon you give Vicky a few years to learn how to fly. I think she probably knows what's going on.
That's true.
So they go. And then immediately Barbara and Vicky look at a fireplace. And the eyes light up. The eyes. Like every fireplace has eyes. There's eyes. Like it's a big fireplace that looks like the mouth of a monster, right?
Yes.
And there's eyes above the mouth. And they light up and flash and stuff. And I was like, that looks pretty bad too.
Yeah.
And then they find a chest. They open the chest and a skeleton falls down. So it's all very, like, typical...
Clichés.
Cliché, yeah, horror, like if I was in a haunted house situation.
Oh, you don't say.
But I think the doctor wanted it to be more than that.
Oh.
Because makes a few comments about, like... He talks about how this is a place... We've landed somewhere that's the nightmare of where all humans go.
Yes, that's right.
And he's all like, yeah, we've... I'm sorry, I'm just going to grab... You know how he holds his jacket?
Yeah.
He's all like, oh, we've landed in this place and it's all like where all the nightmares of humans go. And Ian's like, that means the Daleks can't be here because we're in a nightmare. And the doctor's like, you're right. And they, neither of them, I mean, Ian changes his mind later.
Yeah.
Stops to think for a moment that they could just be in a haunted house.
Yeah.
And the doctor shouldn't really be so fooled.
That's true, because doesn't he like, he can kind of sense things?
Yeah.
Could he not sense that there wasn't a genuineness behind the bat on a string?
Or,
The Dracula Man?
Yeah, the Dracula Man. They don't see the Dracula Man. Barbara and Vicky see the Dracula Man to start with. But the Doctor and Ian do see Frankenstein's monster. Kind of.
Yeah. I will say, it got me. To start with, I thought, it's just bad production and the Doctor's right. This is some weird land. That's like where the nightmares of human minds has come together. And I thought that was a cool idea.
Mm.
But it's just a haunted house.
Yeah, there is a production error right from that spot, though.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure if you noticed. Or I think it's a production error. So they come... The Doctor and Ian have gone upstairs. And they've left Barbara and Vicky alone downstairs in the haunted house full of monsters.
As you do.
As you do.
Which they think at that point is a land of human nightmares.
And they go, we should leave these two women alone in a land of nightmares.
Yeah.
Great.
Great.
The Doctor finds the laboratory. He's like, oh, this could be useful. Let's go down and have a look. And they walk down the stairs. And nothing happens yet, but there's like a table, what would you call it, like a surgery table or whatever.
Mm. Yep.
With obviously there's a body on it, it's covered up with cloth. So you're like, well, this looks like Frankenstein, a Frankenstein situation. There's a Dalek there.
Yes.
But
yes,
they
yes,
hadn't yes. arrived yet at that point.
Oh, I totally missed that because I think I would have made a note if I'd realized.
So they walk down the stairs and you know where the Dalek is later?
Yes.
It's already there.
They just hadn't bothered to take it out of frame.
Yeah, they probably put it there and then realized that continuity-wise it doesn't make sense. But they left it there.
That's awesome.
In fact, let me just double check that's in the production errors here. Production errors. In Journey to Terror, one of the Daleks can be seen in Frankenstein's lab before they supposedly arrived. Vicky can also be heard talking in the background before the scene ends.
I also did note something. I don't think it's technically a production error. But you know how we often make fun of William Hartnell for kind of...
being old.
And flubbing his lines?
Yeah.
The man playing Dracula sometimes seems like he was not ready for his lines.
I think he was supposed to sound like a robot. Because he does like a... welcome to... or whatever, I am Dracula or something.
You must be right, because I thought I was like, that actor is awful.
I think he was doing a good job of being awful. I think he was supposed to be awful.
Well, he did an excellent job. Because I thought he was terrible.
The Doctor stumbles upon a laboratory. He finds Frankenstein's monster. It starts to get up as if to grab them. And the Doctor runs away, followed by Ian.
Yes.
As they retreat, the monster lies back down. Downstairs, at the same time, Barbara and Vicky meet Dracula. He introduces himself and disappears into the house again. And then a woman up on the balcony screams. I remember that woman screaming. Is she supposed to be like a siren? What's that character? Is that someone in particular?
We don't see her again, do we?
She gets shot at by the Daleks, but she just laughs. Not in Technicolor.
See, I don't think they're robots because they battle the Daleks, right?
Well,
have they been later, programmed?
Frankenstein's monster picks up a Dalek and crushes it.
That's my point. Has it been programmed to do that?
Well, they said they moved not in time. The Daleks say that they didn't move in time. They moved in space. Oh, they changed. No, maybe they did move in time. I wonder if it says it here. Where'd they go?
Where did they go?
New York City, 1966. Followed, that was the big, the tall building.
Yep.
Then the Mary Celeste of 1872.
Yep.
That was the ship. The Festival of Ghana in 1966. Oh, sorry, 1996.
Okay, so it could have been some sort of programmed horror house.
The Festival of Ghana was a theme park in 1996. There's a page about it. One of the attractions was Frankenstein's House of Horror featuring Android versions. Android, not Apple. Versions of Frankenstein's monster, Dracula, and the Grey Lady. The Grey Lady. That's what the lady's called.
But can I just ask, is this in the fiction of Doctor Who? Is this a real... thing in real life that existed?
That's a good question. Do you want me to Google it? How about I'll tell you if it's real or not, but we won't tell them.
No, I think we should.
There was a festival in Ghana and had a Frankenstein monster.
In real life?
In real life.
Okay.
So that's the Eighth Doctor does return to this location in an audio play, it says.
Oh, that's cool.
I don't think... the festival itself might that festival itself might not have been real, but it's in a real place on Earth.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yes.
So, anyway, Barbara's talking, like, looking at Dracula, and then she sees, like, then Vicky, like, disappears. And so Barbara's like, oh my gosh, where's Vicky? Yes. And so she searches against the wall, and then she gets trapped by that wall.
And it's near the fireplace.
Yeah.
With the eyes.
The monster of the fireplace ate her. The Doctor and Ian cannot find Barbara and Vicky anywhere. They go... Okay, so they go downstairs.
Yes.
And they're like, where are they?
Where are our women?
And Ian is just kind of like... Like, I think he's just used to people missing these days. And he's just like, oh, yeah, they've gone missing.
Because they never learn.
Yeah, let's split up again.
Of course.
You guys stay here near the box. It's probably safe. Probably safe. Anyway, they go back. They're like, what if they went upstairs to follow us? And so they go back upstairs.
Yes.
And they go, we probably have to have a look in Frankenstein's monster laboratory. Now, while that's happening, the Dalek ship lands.
Yes.
And we again get a fantastic view of the inside of it with a spinning, like...
Yeah.
The spinning hypnotic thing, but like a video appears in it. Which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah, that did look good.
And they come out of it and they're like, let's go look for some Daleks. Let's go look for some Doctor. And so one of the Daleks is like, I'll stay here and guard. You go search.
Yes.
And so that Dalek is searching and the Doctor and Ian are in Frankenstein's laboratory. And the monster, the monster doesn't wake up yet, but they walk into the laboratory and then a Dalek comes in from like one of the side doors and is like, I'm going to kill you or exterminate or whatever it said.
Yeah.
And then Frankenstein's monster wakes up. And the Doctor and Ian just run. And Frankenstein's monster, I think, it's not really seen on screen... I think he just destroys a Dalek.
Yeah.
Just rips it to shreds.
Because we don't see that particular Dalek come out.
Which makes me think Daleks are supposed to be very powerful. And this Dalek got torn to shreds by an android from 1996.
Yes, that's true. Do they get stronger over time of the show?
Maybe. But I feel like they should be stronger than tinfoil.
That's true. We have seen lots of Daleks die so far, though. We've seen Barbara run over one in a truck.
That was the best.
We've seen one get pushed down an elevator. In fact, we saw that twice, if you're going to include the movie.
The movie did it very well. I think the Ice Stalk even fell off it.
Yes.
It fell down the shaft.
I feel like there's been lots of explosions and they've died at different times, like when they were on Earth previously, invading
Earth. Didn't the Doctor just get their ship destroyed?
Was there any in there?
There would have been.
They're dead.
They are dead. Doctor, do we need to worry about the Daleks? They are dead.
They're dead. Which means they are super scary, but they're not impenetrable like you'd think they are now.
Yeah, like now, I think if you try to hit them with a truck, I mean, they've been hit by like a tank shell
in the
show.
Right.
That doesn't do anything.
Okay, so they get stronger. Lots of
bullets. Someone hits one with a brick. It's pretty good. Just kind of bounces off.
Haven't we seen someone hit them with a baseball bat? Or have you told me that?
Ace, the seventh Doctor's companion, does beat a Dalek with a baseball bat.
Okay.
So we're not which there is yet. Spectacular. One of the companions traps a Dalek in like a time... lock, like just freezes it in time.
Oh.
So that's pretty cool. One of the Doctor's companions disintegrates the whole of them.
So why are they scary now?
I think they get stronger, but the Doctor always finds still finds ways to like destroy them.
Right.
So the Doctor and Ian come downstairs And they're like, oh, Vicky, Barbara, we found you. Because I think Barbara finds it's Vicky. And they're all kind of happy for a moment.
Right.
And then there's a Dark that turns up and it's all like, exterminate, total obliteration or something. And then Dracula rocks up and it's like, the whole Dark just like turns to face Dracula and it's like, what the heck is this situation? Because even the way it's like, it's going to kill the Doctor because it's all like, you've messed with our plans all the time. And so it goes to shoot.
Yeah.
But then Dracula's like, I am Dracula. And the Dark turns and tries to shoot Dracula, but nothing happens to him. You know, the color thing happens. And Dracula's just like, yeah, I'm still Dracula.
Which makes sense because he's an android. And that's why I didn't understand why he didn't die. Because I was going to say to you, this was my original theory, right? Yeah. That they think it's a horror house, but it actually is the embodiment of their nightmares. Because all of a sudden, this Dracula is immune to being killed by a Dalek.
Yeah, but I think the Doctor just wants things like that sometimes.
No, but he tricked me. You're right. It must be that android. And that's why it can't be killed.
Yeah.
Because it's just
a computer. But I think the Doctor wanted to be more than just a haunted house.
Yeah.
Because he's had another... When he becomes the 12th Doctor... He has another episode where it's like the whole episode is him trying to figure out this thing that probably doesn't matter. And at the end of it, he's like, did that really matter? I don't know, but this was a good episode. You know?
What? Does he say this was a good episode?
Oh, no.
We'll be back next week, folks.
So the eighth, the whatever, what is it? The first Doctor. Doctor Who.
The only Doctor for me so far.
They're like, now's our chance. Let's get in our ship. And three of them run into the ship. But Vicky kind of stays for a minute and she's like, it will kill you. I think she's trying to save Dracula.
Right.
Who's an android. And so Vicky, there's a scene, and this is the bit where it's like another little, I'm not sure if you noticed, but it cuts to like a different camera. And there's like a whole 2 seconds of Vicky just standing there. Before, I guess, the director has said action.
Yes, I do remember.
And then she starts running around.
How do they not... Whoever's editing the show, why leave that in?
Oh, yeah.
It's like... It is. It's like a stage play where the person's waiting to come on and say their lines.
But they're on stage.
Yeah, because it's a TV show.
Say the lines. Say the lines. Lines.
That's like when we watched the one where they went to Scarro.
Yes.
And they were like, just wait. Okay, now run and scream.
Oh, yeah, that? That's right. Yeah.
Swamp. Oh, hello. That was your foot. We were playing foot scenes.
The Daleks... This episode feels much longer than it did when I watched it. But the Daleks...
There's a lot that happens in the first one.
Vicky, I think, sneaks onto their ship because the TARDIS flies off.
Yes.
So she sneaks onto the Dark ship.
She's got to try to catch up with the crew and she figures this is the only way because they're going to chase them.
Yeah. So in the TARDIS, the Doctor's like... Barbara's like, oh, it's, thank goodness we got away or whatever, but we have to come up with a plan. And she brings, like, drinks or something. And then she's like, oh, it was Vicky. And then they're all like, oh, we all thought she was here. Like Home Alone style. You know, like, wow. How could you forget that person? And on the Dalek ship, Vicky is, like, trying to get a message to them. She's using their transmitter or whatever. But the Daleks have made... They've got, like, some reproduce... I think they call it the reproducer.
They do.
They do. They refer to it as a reproducer. And their plan is to reproduce the Doctor. And they do.
Yeah.
So, it's very clearly a different actor.
Which I don't understand, because...
They're not in the same scene together.
They only are maybe twice, but all the other times, why not just have the actual guy?
It's funny, because whoever actor that is...
Yes.
...is not that imposter Doctor all the time. It is sometimes William Hartnell.
Yes, that's right. Sometimes they do use the real guy, but... It is always his voice.
So I wonder what... I'm just going to have a quick scroll to story notes here. Because I wonder if there's some production reason.
Because it is always William Hartnell's voice. So why did they bother when there's only one of them in the scene? Because do you remember the guy who's playing the fake doctor,
yeah,
sometimes will mouth words.
You're like, yes, yes, I know. Like, he'll say it as if he is the doctor.
No, but he doesn't say anything. He mouths it so that William Hartnell's voice can come through.
Yeah.
But why? Why not have
I don't know.
It's so weird.
Story notes. It doesn't actually say. I don't know what the reason is. But anyway, it's a doctor who... It's a character, an actor who's very clearly not William Hartnell.
Yes.
Who's thinner. And his face doesn't look... It just looks like they got another old man up the street. And
absolutely.
Gave him William Hartnell's coat and said, can you wave your hand around and just open your mouth every now and then? So...
It's so bad.
I thought it was really interesting. And then at the end, he's like... So, the plan, the Daleks are like, you, fake robot doctor. Because they even say... I think I wrote it down. They said... they say, contact the Dalek Supreme. We've got a plan sorted. And I thought that was interesting too. They said it is impossible to distinguish between the doctor and this robot. Impossible to distinguish.
Yeah. So what they're saying to you is, please accept that this is the same guy.
We couldn't afford to do that weird fancy technology that doesn't exist yet.
For the only 2 seconds where it matters. Otherwise, they could have had William Hartnell.
Yeah. Because they even swap at the very end of the episode, he says, infiltrate and destroy as William Hartnell. Like, William Hartnell's now in the scene.
Yes.
What was the point?
I don't understand. Good so old the next episode 60s Doctor Who.
Are the 60s? Maybe they wanted to be like, later, when there's two of them fighting, you need to know which one's not the real one.
Yes.
When two old men having a good old scrap... You need to know which one's not the doctor.
Maybe that's all it is.
Could be.
But why didn't they just shoot it where they have the camera aiming to the left and it's William Hartnell saying, I'm the doctor. And then it changes to a shot of him on the other side saying, no, I'm the doctor. Because then it would be better for us because we don't know which one is the real doctor.
That sucks.
Jeez.
I like this story, though.
It's a cool idea for a story, but it wouldn't have been hard to make it slightly better.
You know what they should have done? Because this was the point in time where Peter Cushing Doctor Who movies were coming out. They should have gone Peter Cushing. Yes. And been like, they've made their own Doctor.
Because remember you told me that the movie is actually fan fiction in the world of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
So imagine if the Daleks saw the movie and said, we can make him. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. That would have been good.
That would have been really cool.
But they didn't do that.
Not at all.
Right.
Just got some old bummer off the street.
Next episode, which is the one I wrote the least information about. The death of Doctor Who's imposter. Oh, I mean, just Doctor Who.
Also, it's not the Doctor. They're still calling him Doctor Who. Even in the credits. The death
of Doctor Who.
Even in the credits.
Yeah, it says that for a while. But verbally, in the show, they all call him the Doctor.
That's what I don't understand.
I don't think you need to understand.
And sometimes it's not even Doctor Who. It's Doctor as in DR Who in the credits, I think.
Yeah. Stylize it. It changes over time.
That's so weird.
Dr. Ian and Barbara are exploring the planet Mechanus. Remember, yes. They land and they're like, oh, there's a bunch of plants and they're moving.
Yeah.
That's basically that. Now, they do some exploring. They're doing exploring. And they get to the point. Do you want me to read from this? Ready?
Go on.
They are soon cornered by fungoids.
That's what they're called?
Fungoids? Fungoids? F-U-N-G-O-I-D-S.
I don't think they say fungoids. That in the show. Do they?
Fungoids. Yeah, they say, look at these fungoids.
Do they really?
I don't remember it.
Oh, maybe there's a thing that comes back, because why would this Doctor Whopedia know what they're called?
No idea.
Okay.
Probably an audio play. Meanwhile...
Probably, to be honest.
Meanwhile, the Daleks have landed
on Mechanus themselves, where they say all life must be treated as hostile, which is correct because one of the plants immediately tries to, like, kill a Dalek.
Yeah, the Daleks are exactly right. Everything here is hostile. Yes.
But luckily they shoot it with their weird laser whatever guns they have at this moment, and it turns all inverted colours for a minute and then dies.
Yeah.
So they can kill the plants, unlike the monsters from the haunted house they were in earlier.
Yes.
And Vicky, she's still on the Dalek ship for now, I think. I think they get their fake doctor out. And they're like, remember your plan. And he's like, shut up.
Yeah, because she's the one who knows about the fact that there is a fake doctor. So she's still on the ship at that point.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, I got this. Infiltrate, destroy. And he wanders off. Like any doctor would. He just wanders off.
Yeah.
So, the Doctor, Ian, and Barbara, they're wandering around, and they've got their box thing, like a weapon that they have from their ship.
Yeah.
Because they're going to blow up a Dalek or something. And the Doctor's like, no, it needs space, so we can't stay in a forest. If I try and explode this thing in a forest, we're all dead.
Yeah.
So, while they're discussing what to do next, they hear a scream, and I know I've kind of skipped over some stuff that happened with Vicky, but can I summarize it in like a sentence for you?
Go.
She wandered around a forest and kept walking into plants.
Yep.
And then screamed.
Yep.
So they go, they're like, let's go save, they're like, Barbara, you stay here. We'll split up again. You stay here.
Oh.
We'll go help Vicky, and they run off.
It's not even funny anymore that they split up. It's just like, come on.
They leave.
Yep.
And then the Doctor finds Barbara.
The Doctor?
The Doctor, the man who's clearly not William Hartnell.
Yeah.
Who, again, may I point out, William Hartnell is not in this scene.
Correct.
Maybe they only paid him to play one character.
And he was like, I'm not doing
it. Yeah, you're going to have to pay me two monies to do that.
Did he go on holidays and they realized they had to reshoot that scene?
I think he's on holidays recently.
I thought you were going to say he seems like he's already on holidays because he's just like,
I don't need a script. Whatever.
Just pay some old dude.
Maybe this could have been their storyline to change the actors the first time. Now we've got this Doctor. just a different old man.
And then they realized, why don't we make the Doctor younger? Because the fact that he's old means he's just going to keep dying very soon.
He wasn't even that... I think we talked about this before. But William Hartnell's really not that old. He's like 55.
Man.
But he just looks... I think he drank 75. A lot of alcohol.
Yeah.
Or smoked a lot? Probably both.
I thought you were going to say smoked a lot of alcohol. He looks 65, maybe 75.
He does look quite elderly.
Yeah.
I think at this point, when he started doing it, he was 53.
Okay.
So this is a few years in. So he's still not 60 yet, though.
Maybe they made him look older on the show, because he's got a cane.
He does look older... Well, watch the documentary when this Doctor dies.
Yeah.
And you'll see, like, he still looks quite old.
All right, so it's not like a trick of...
camera work. Yeah. Or hair.
Yeah. A trick of hair, yes. It's not like a cinematic thing they've made him look old. He just looks old.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've put here...
Go on.
That this... this robot is the worst robot ever.
Yeah.
So its plan, and it's quite arrogant, obviously, because it's the Doctor, I guess.
Right.
But it's like, infiltrate and destroy. I'm going to pretend to be the Doctor. So he goes and finds Barbara, because Barbara calls out for Ian or something. And it's like, no, Ian's dead. I'm here now. That's, you know. And she's like, but Ian can't be dead. And it's like... all right, well, maybe you can come help me with Ian. Why didn't it just kill her there?
Yeah, I don't understand that.
Because he could have killed her and then he could have gone off
and found someone else and said, Barbara's dead, and she actually is dead.
Because the point he said was, like, divide. He said, like, previously said, divide, infiltrate, destroy. So, get Barbara on his own, kill her.
Yeah.
Then maybe the Doctor and Ian will get separated at some point. Kill Ian.
So, she was already divided from the group because, as we said, as you said, they split up.
They split up.
So, why didn't he kill her?
He didn't even have to do anything to initiate that splitting up. He should just know that they will split up at some point.
Yeah. Because he's the Doctor.
He's the Doctor. The first Doctor.
My Doctor. Hashtag.
Not my Doctor.
Yeah.
And then the fake Doctor and Barbara are together and then they're looking for Ian. They're looking for Ian. And Barbara hears Ian approaching. And the fake Doctor's like, now's my chance. Like, that's his chance? He takes a swing at her then?
After they're no longer divided.
Yeah. So he's like, I've got you now. But then Barbara's like, what are you doing? And she, like, runs off and Ian comes over and tackles him or whatever. And then fake Doctor runs off and Ian's like, that wasn't the real Doctor. We found Vicky and Vicky told us all about this fake Doctor that the Doctor is now. You know?
When is the now, you know? Who is the Doctor, you know?
Who is the Doctor, you know? And they're like, okay. So they chase after him and they all, there's kind of a bit of like a, they split up a little bit.
Of course.
And then they come back together. And they see the two Doctors.
Who look very much alike.
Yeah. So I put here, at the 15-minute mark, we see two old men fighting.
Yep.
Because the Doctor's like, I'm the Doctor. And Ian's like, I don't know what's going on here. And
he should know.
He should know. Look at the other one. And the other one says, hit him with a rock, destroy him. And we know, like, the Doctor would probably hit someone with a rock if it was early days of the first Doctor.
Remember when they were in caveman times? He literally was going to smash someone over the head with a rock.
I think his morals have changed since then.
Yeah.
But
since the dawn of time? Yeah.
Yeah. But the Doctor, the fake Doctor, the robot Doctor...
Yes.
...looks at Vicky in the eyes and says, now this is the bit that I miss that's in the story. This is the thing.
Okay.
So I thought what happened was, and you can tell me if you thought differently.
I was a bit confused.
The fake Doctor looked into like Vicky's eyes and said, look away, because this is going to get, you know, his skull's gone. Okay. Even though he's probably just a robot. So bolts are going to go everywhere or something.
Right.
But then Vicky and Barbara...
Yes.
...go, this is the fake, that's the real one. Because this one looks clearly different to our actual Doctor. Okay, so I thought they had just seen him.
Okay. Like
they saw through his cunning ruse.
Right.
Is that what you thought happened?
I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't really know. And that was going to be one of the things I asked you.
Okay.
What the hell happened?
I'm going to answer it right now.
Okay, go.
They grapple wildly. These are the two Doctors. Whilst the other Doctor gives Ian tips on how to finish off his adversary.
Hang on. The two Doctors can't be fighting.
Oh, sorry. This is Ian and the Doctor.
Which Doctor?
The real one. The Doctor and Ian are fighting wildly, grappling wildly, while the other Doctor gives Ian tips on how to finish off his adversary. However, the Doctor with Vicky and Barbara slips up when he calls Vicky Susan. So the line is actually, look away, Susan. And then Barbara goes, this is the fake.
I totally miss that because we even sometimes call her Susan.
And also, that character could also just accidentally call Vicky Susan.
Yes.
So if that's the reason why she's like, this is the fake... Like, that's not solid. But I think she probably did also see through his
Ruse. So is the idea that the doctor they created, the fake doctor, he's only at some point, the point in time where they previously met him?
He probably doesn't know, like, all the information. Like, he probably has all the information in his brain. Susan. Yeah, he's probably like, oh, there's a young woman with these people. She's probably Susan. Because don't forget, like, the Daleks haven't really... Like, they know who the Doctor is, and they know who Susan... They know who Ian and Barbara are, but they probably haven't had anything to do with Vicky.
Yes, that's a good point.
So they probably were like, that's probably Susan.
Oh, I because that flew over my head.
They're obviously not very good at noticing things, because they also thought, this is a great robot.
Yes. So
they probably went, that Vicky's a Susan. You know?
Sometimes she is. She did just spend a lot of time walking around screaming at plants.
Yeah.
That sounds like Susan.
I feel bad for the actress, because remember, she got on the show and they were like, darken your hair,
yep,
and put it up, make yourself Susan. She's like, no. And they're like, that's okay, we'll just keep your character like Susan then. She is a lot braver than Susan.
But you realize her doing that could be the only reason that companions are all totally different and wild and wacky characters. It's because she refused to fall in line.
Mm.
You might have to thank the person who played Vicky for the fact that Doctor Who is what it
Maurice
is.
Maurice something?
Sure.
Maurice O'Brien, I think her name is.
That sounds
Maureen right. Maureen O'Brien?
Maybe Maureen O'Brien.
Maureen O'Brien.
Thank you, Maureen. You are responsible for the fact that companions are all different and wacky characters. And
some of them can be a penguin, and some of them can be...
So anyway, they finally defeat the fake doctor when they realize who it is.
Yeah, because they go, you're not real, and then he loses immediately. The doctor pulls out some wires from him, I think.
Yep.
But there is a good couple moments of them going, like, cane to cane.
Yes.
And then the doctor, like, has him in, like, a... I know, what do you call that? Like a struggle.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, out comes some wires from your chest, and then the other doctor just collapses.
Which makes me think, when they were trying to work out which doctor was which, why didn't they just look at the guy with wires in his chest?
Did he have to open his chest?
Or why didn't they just bang on both of their chests and one of them would be metal?
I don't know if they knew that was the bomb contributing... Yes.
But yeah.
Well, then would be metal. So the Daleks, they're like... They're still being chased by the Daleks, though.
Yes.
So the Daleks' whole robot plan falls apart, which is probably completely unnecessary. And they get chased through the forest, and the Daleks are closing in, and they've reached, like, the bottom of a big city.
Yeah.
Which they saw earlier that we didn't mention. And then suddenly, like, a door opens, and there's a big spherical... robot thing.
Yes.
Now, I know of these creatures.
Right.
Okay. And I think I've probably seen this episode before. But I was like, oh, that's a mechanoid. So I was like, I should have put it all together because they're on Mechanus.
Right.
And that's a mechanoid.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, that's cool. And there's a really good, like, disco dance sequence later between them and the Daleks, which I loved. So...
Oh. In this episode...
There's no disco, but there's just a lot of them, like moving around each other.
Oh, yes. There is. Yes, there is.
All being, like... And they have these little male arms, and they grab them, and it just looks like they're dancing. But the mechanoid's, like... 01, blah, 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 like, English, and, like, recognizes their language or something. And they're like, oh, we better go with this round spherical object instead of getting shot by these other...
This is our only chance.
So they hop in, the elevator closes, and I think there's a really funny scene, because now they're in the start of the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
They're going up that lift, and that lift is obviously built for, like, one mechanoid only, because they're all standing against the edge, like, this thing saved us, but...
What the
Does hell anyone want to say anything to
him? It does look really funny. One other thing that I thought looked funny too was in the Death of Doctor Who episode, there's a part where the Daleks are all talking and they agree on something they're going to do, and there's just like four or five Daleks all nodding their head like, oh, yes, good idea. The
eye stalk.
Yeah, it looks hilarious.
It's going up and down. Yeah, it's good.
It's a good time.
But I also love how they get to the top of that elevator. The doors open. There's a big city. It's obviously a miniature, but there's also just a miniature mechanoid just moving across the screen.
Yeah.
And I think they very deliberately, the actors playing the Doctor and his companions were like, wow. And they very obviously made it look like these guys are going to stand there and the mechanoid's the one that's going to move forward. Because they didn't have miniatures of them behind them.
Just him.
Just the spherical mechanoid.
I wrote down the quote. They get out and they say, one of them says, I haven't seen anything like it. It's huge. And then cuts to a miniature. That was so good.
They get to the town and they get put in a prison cell. Now, here, it should come back to you.
Oh, yeah. I did remember earlier, but I didn't want to say. That's when the guy rocks up again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy is Steven Taylor.
Oh, it's the actor.
It's the same actor. It's not the same
character. See, that's why I got confused, because I thought you were saying that character's going to come back.
Same actor, beard now, but same actor. And he's like, I'm Steven Taylor. And someone else is like, the doctor's like, oh, now we know your name. Because at first they're like, what are we doing in this room? Some random guy's here. And he's like, are you real? So he's obviously been here for a while.
Yes.
And the doctor's like, oh, well, now we know your name. You're Steven Taylor. And then Barbara's like, yes, Steven Taylor. I thought it was really funny because it's almost been like, hey, audience, remember the name Steven Taylor. And then Steven Taylor's like, say that again. And she's like, Steven Taylor? And he's like, oh, it's been a long time since anyone said my name. That kind of thing. That actor is, again, that same actor who that director was like, don't be in a bee costume. We need to use you for real thing.
Maybe that was a thing he told me to remember.
Yeah. So he was like, I'm better than being in a bee costume. I'm this guy.
That's right. We talked about it last episode.
Instead of being a bee costume, I'm going to be at the top of whatever that building's called.
Empire State Building. That's this, like, hick. Oh my god!
Yeah.
Is that a TARDIS?
He doesn't know what a TARDIS is.
No, I'm just making fun of the idea of like.
Anyway, he's like, I've been here for 2 years and these mechanoid things were supposed to build our. I think he said they're supposed to help with the colonization.
Okay.
But then. I love your response. Alright.
I couldn't remember all
this. He said they had come to help colonize this planet.
Right.
For more humans when they turn up, which is a plot point that they come back to sometimes. And and the doctor was like, oh, well, or the doctor, one of them was like, where are your humans? Like, where are they? Like, when are they rocking up? He was like, oh, no, they got distracted by a war or something.
Right.
Which I guess happens. And so he's just been there. In their zoo. Like, he's just a specimen in their city. And he said that he'd made, like, a hole in the roof or something so that he could, like, go outside. And the mechanoids don't care because Steven Taylor, I'll refer to him by full name every time, but Steven Taylor says, we've got to go outside. Prisoners still have to get exercise. Now, can you imagine going upstairs, out to that space, and doing much exercise out there? Because Ian goes out there and he almost falls off the platform.
Yeah, they're basically up on the top of this almost sloped roof. It's like a huge, and it's way up high. So if they fall, they're gone.
Yeah.
I'm surprised, and I know this is morbid, that if you're that guy in that situation for 2 years, you don't just go up there and jump off. And you're like, I'm not going to be in this zoo for alien.
Well, I thought he would have just gone that cable because the doctor and Ian find some cable up there, some electrical cable, I guess.
Yeah.
Which looks strong enough to hold their weight. I'm surprised he didn't just find a way to lower himself down. Because if you're trapped up there for 2 years, even if you get to the bottom, you're like, there's dangerous plants down there. Like, that's still an option, though.
Yeah.
You know.
But no.
No, he just stayed there. I guess they probably kept him fed or something.
I'll use this for exercise.
Maybe I'll use that cord as a skipping rope or something.
Yeah. Not to escape.
Anyway, the doctor and Ian are like, it's time for us to get out of here. And Stephen's like, that's not going to work. And everyone's like, yeah, yeah, it will. Stockholm Syndrome.
That must be what it is.
Maybe, because he's constantly like, I can't go. And they're like, yeah, you can.
But he doesn't... But you're right. I think it is Stockholm Syndrome, because he's not antagonistic towards the mechanoids. He's kind of like, oh, this is kind of the arrangement, and, you know...
Yeah, welcome to my house. This is my mascot's little toy something.
Exactly.
So he's like, we can't go. And then the Daleks do rock up. So I guess at that point he's like, well, it's either this or this place blows up.
That's what makes his decision for him. Yeah. He's like, oh, well.
Guess it's time to go. So they climb up and the Daleks are like, hey, we're here now. And the mechanoids are like, 1011 or whatever.
Enter, enter, zero, stop.
Yeah, I found their language weird, but I guess they're robots. So, what can you do?
What can you do?
And it just grabs the Dalek with two thin arms, and the Dalek's like, I cannot move. I just thought that was hilarious.
It was. And I also liked one of them was dying, and he says, am exterminated, ah!
He says, am exterminated. Which I don't understand. I am exterminated?
Yeah.
Like, why not just say, I've been shot, I've been killed or something. I don't know. I am exterminated.
And then he yells, ah!
And so the doctor leaves his bomb there and goes up. That's what blows up and kills that Dalek.
Yeah, that one from the previous episode when they're in the forest and they're like, I can't use it now.
Yeah.
To kill the Daleks.
Yeah. And then while they're upstairs and Vicky has a mountain breakdown about heights, which, you know, I understand, I don't like heights, but if it was heights for, like, being lowered slowly down to the ground or being incinerated, I probably would just go for the heights thing.
Yeah.
So she's been lowered slowly down and the Daleks are like are having a big battle with the mechanoids. And this was my favorite part because it was just lots of sweeping shots. They obviously, maybe they could got to the stage of the show where they could afford like rails for the cameras or something.
Yeah.
Because they could really do some panning and like swinging around three Daleks and then the three Daleks would be like moving their guns in unison and then a few mechanoids would be just sliding around and they didn't really attack each other yet. They just kind of showed off how they could move.
Yeah.
And then they started shooting each other and the mechanoids have a weird like thing that it just catches on fire and obviously fires something.
Yeah.
And they were just blowing each other up and it was a good time.
It was pretty cool. It's the most explosive scene we've seen of the Daleks yet other than Skaro.
Yeah.
When they have that big thing in the control room.
Oh, yeah, in the movie.
Well, they kind of have a similar thing in the show, but it's not quite as good.
Yeah, it's not quite as explosive. Yeah. These guys, they really blow each other up.
Oh, yeah.
So they're fighting. The doctor. The doctor. And
hello, his doctor.
The doctor and his friends get to the bottom. And they're like, oh, Stephen went back for his toy. We don't know if he'll make it.
Stephen who?
Stephen Taylor.
Oh, right.
Because he went back for his mascot, which I guess it's a bit of a Wilson situation. Like, you know, if you'd been stuck alone, you had just a toys company, I guess you'd want to go back for it. But they find the Dalek ship empty, no one in it. So the Daleks have obviously all gone up there and all died or they're distracted for now. And Barbara's like, oh my God, are we a working time machine?
Yeah. Not this ship that just throws us wherever.
She's like, we can go home. And Ian's like, I do want to go home. Which for them, like some companions kind of come and go. Like, you know, they come and they're like, oh, I don't want to go back to my old life. This is my life now. But these guys never really wanted to be around this old man forever.
No, they were kidnapped.
Yeah, that's right. So they're like, well, yeah, I want to go home. Ian's like, I want a beer at a pub. I don't want to be fighting Jaguar warriors and stuff like that, you know?
Not forever.
Not forever. And so they decide they want to leave, and the Doctor's like, I can't make this ship work. And Vicky's like, you're pretty smart. You can probably figure this out. And so they have a bit of a moment where he's like, I'll miss them terribly. And they fly home.
Yeah.
And they arrive home, I think Ian says 3 years after they'd left.
Yeah, didn't you say 1966?
Yeah, and they left in 63.
Right.
But I think it just keeps continuity, like with the show.
Yeah.
Because in real life, it's 1966. So you may as well keep it in the same thing. Sorry, it's 1965 in the show.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
But
they have they show a nice little photo slideshow.
Montage. They obviously just go out into a park and they're like, I remember parks. I can remember a park where there's no Dalek or I don't know, what else had they, there's no bees flying around. They're probably going to have nightmares of bees. It's probably a bee phobia now.
Yeah.
Ian quite liked that bee.
Oh, yeah. That lovely lady bee.
He should get into bee movie.
Ooh. Hey, that movie explicitly acknowledges and accepts the relationship between a woman and a bee.
Yeah.
Not a woman bee. A woman and a bee. A human.
A man bee.
And a man bee. With the voice of Jerry Seinfeld.
Jerry Seinfeld wrote most of that, didn't he? Did he work on that?
He wrote that, and he has since apologized because he said, I've now realized what that looks like. Especially because there's kind of romantic segments.
Yeah, it's very creepy. Now, they have their nice montage. They're a little bit like, oh, we're going to go back to work. We have to tell work where we've been. And it kind of pans out a bit, and the Doctor's like watching them on his super TV screen.
Yeah, inside the TARDIS.
He's like, I'm so sad. And apparently William Hartnell was actually very sad because he was quite good friends with William Russell and Jacqueline Hill at that point. Because he was quite close to Carol Ann Ford as well. Because, you know, they started this thing together.
Yeah.
And it became a huge thing, and now those two left. Now, they decided to leave at two different times, though.
Okay.
Okay, so this is where I've asked you to remind me about other shows, but I've written them down now.
Now, I just want to say, I was pretty sure their journey in the show was over, but I was not definite, so I was going to ask you, but that's it for me.
That's it.
Oh, man.
That's it.
I love Barbara.
I can give you some, because it's not spoilers, but I can give you some information about where they went with their lives.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you might like to know.
But Barbara was the hero for so long.
Yeah, it was the Barbara show, wasn't it?
It was for a while. Oh, man.
So, in the Romans...
She was also kind of, you know, she was pretty hot. I liked her. And now she's gone.
Oh, that's really lovely.
And now we're stuck with just the Doctor and a pseudo-Susan.
Yep, and another character. You're going to see the next episode because he gets more companions, obviously. He can't just be...
Well, that's what I was going to say. We didn't see anyone else join at this point.
No, but someone else will join next episode.
I assume so. I am sad.
So, in the web... in the Romans, Jacqueline Hill decided at that point that she wanted to leave the show.
What? So ages ago.
She was like, I'm done with this. Well, it was only at the start of this season. Really?
Oh, okay. So, but that's still... These are long seasons.
Yeah. So, she was like, you know, I'm done. It probably has something to do with that creepy guy chasing her around that palace.
That's a good point.
Because William Russell decided to leave the show in the web planet. He was like, oh, bee costumes. But I don't think that's probably not the real reason why they left. They just thought it was... They've been doing it for a while.
Yeah.
Because they don't... Well, I guess they'd only been doing it for 2 years. But the show is quite, like, it's like just you're constantly filming.
Yeah.
Remember we talked about the break between season one and season two?
Yeah.
Didn't exist. They just kept going, basically. There was like 6 weeks or something, I think.
And they're long seasons.
They're long seasons. Yeah. We're not even at the end of the season. We've got one more story still. So I've got some story notes here. So like I said, the Doctor's sadness in saying goodbye to Ian and Barbara was not entirely down to good acting. William Hartnell had become good friends with Miller Russell and Jaclyn Hill and was genuinely saddened to see them leave.
Yeah.
The Chase, this set of stories was going to be the third Doctor Who movie as well. As in, like, they were going to adapt this story to be the third Doctor Who movie.
Right.
Because in movie land, they went Doctor Who and the Daleks is the one we watched.
Yep.
And then Doctor Who, Dalek Invasion of Earth, they adapt that story.
Yeah.
With Susan, you know, I don't know if Susan's still in it. We have to watch that one at some point.
We will.
And then there's this one that they were going to call Doctor Who The Chase, but they just didn't, they didn't get around to it because I think it didn't quite reach its potential.
So it would have been basically a trilogy.
Yeah.
And that kind of works too because it's like the start, middle, and end point for those characters.
Yeah.
His companions.
This also set up a bit of a thing with Terry Nation's stories. So one of the previous ones he wrote was Keys of Marinus. Remember that one?
I do.
Where they kind of go from location to location in quick succession.
Yep.
So I think he's starting to like this kind of like, you travel to different, lots of different locations. So that comes up a lot.
Right.
Let me click on... So, Jaclyn Hill, let's start with where she went. So, I'm going to talk about her character, and then I'll talk about her as an actor.
As long as it's not a spoiler if something actually happens in the show.
It doesn't... They don't... Is it a spoiler to say that they don't return?
No.
They don't return.
I meant more if they did and something happened, but yeah. Okay.
So, they leave. Barbara and Ian both leave. Now, there's kind of like multiple theories to what happens next.
Oh.
So, I will scroll to her thing, Travels with the Doctor.
I love the theories.
So, some of them are, like, said in, you know, like, jest. Like, oh, this maybe this is what happened.
Right.
So, Barbara and Ian, they actually get married.
Yep.
So, hooray. Because, obviously, that's nice.
Yes.
And they are still married now. Like, in... current time.
Okay.
In Doctor Who world. So they get married.
So that would make them 110. Or maybe 100.
William Russell is still alive. He still does audio plays.
Oh.
So he wasn't... Like, he is getting on a bit. I don't know, he'd be in his 80s probably or something.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I'm thinking Hartnell. William Russell is alive.
William Hartnell's gone.
Yeah, that's why
a long time ago.
That's what I thought. So when you started saying he was alive, I was like, what? I know William Russell is alive.
Yeah. So there's a few different stories. Like they've some accounts say that they had kids and grandchildren and all of that and had like pretty normal, really lovely wives. Lives.
They all had lovely wives.
In an alternate version, there's a spin-off called The Sarah Jane Smith Adventures, which we will watch at some point because it links quite heavily into Doctor Who.
Right.
And is a very successful spin-off. In fact, it wasn't supposed to end when it did, but one of the actors died, and so it was all kind of sad, and so they stopped making the show.
Right.
The lead actor, in fact, so...
Oh, geez.
We'll talk about that when we get there. According to a rumor that Sarah Jane Smith shared with some of her friends, that are spoilers, so I can't tell you, Barbara and Ian had become professors at the University of Cambridge by the 2010s, but had not aged since the 60s. Oh. So there's a rumor that whatever time travel they used in the Daleks machine stopped them from aging.
Oh, okay.
But that's been kind of disproven because... William Russell, like, Ian has reappeared in other medium and has aged in those mediums.
Okay.
But he might have aged slowly and then all at once or something.
Holy. Imagine so, that day.
Ian has lots of other adventures. Obviously because Jacqueline Hill passed away. I'm going to find that date. So she died in 1993.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it says she died from cancer in 1993.
Okay.
So she didn't end up doing any of those audio plays. She actually reappears in Doctor Who, but as a different character. And she said that's always been one of... until she died, that was one of her biggest regrets, was return to Doctor Who, but as someone else. She said she would have liked to see Barbara again.
Yeah, okay.
So, she's just in another one episode. She just plays another character for an episode.
Don't tell me when, because that will be like,
Ian Chesterton. So, he... in the modern day, recently had adventures with Susan.
Okay.
So Susan and Ian teamed up to return to the planet with all the beings that don't see.
Yeah.
Remember those?
Yeah.
Those guys? The Sensorites.
The Sensorites, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
So they go back to the Sense Sphere
right.
for an adventure to, like... negotiate between two species.
And is it the actual people voicing it or whatever it is that they do?
Yeah. It's those actors.
Oh, cool.
They're all back. And William Russell's voices Ian and does a very good, like, he finds that character, you know, he sounds like him. And apparently, because of the work they did at the Sense Sphere when we saw them in person, that's why they were sent there, because they're very well regarded by the Sensorites.
Right, okay.
So, because they stopped that weird guy from gaining all the power that time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that.
That
was a cool story, because it was like, there was a lot of political intrigue.
Yeah. Let me see if there's anything different about Ian. I think his story in Barbara's, you know, obviously because they get married and they are still living together when Susan and him team up.
Mm-hmm.
But Barbara's out because, you know, the actress, they didn't want to have another actress voice her character.
That's fair.
So while she's out, he goes and has an adventure, and then he comes home. He's like, Barbara, you won't believe where I've been. And then the episode ends.
Right.
So it's kind of nice.
Yeah.
So Ian, this is what Ian looks like. I'll click on his picture because I don't, it's got a
mold spoiler.
Just in the caption. So okay. I'm just going to open the image.
I'll try to cover where it might be.
No, got rid of it.
Oh, okay. It looks so like William Hartnell now.
Yeah, so that's him. In fact, he does sometimes does the voice for William Hartnell as the first Doctor.
Really?
Yeah. So, and that's an old sensor right behind him. Because everyone's gotten old.
Jeez.
Now, he still... Yeah, he lives with Barbara. William Russell. Do you want to hear what happened to him?
Yes.
He's still alive, so that's good.
I know he's done some audio stuff.
Yep, so he was born 1924.
Mm-hmm.
So he's still around. 1924.
So he's like 78.
1924,
1922.
1924?
1924. So in 2024, he'll be...
100.
Oh, so he's 98.
He's 98.
Holy moly. I don't know why I got that wrong. Man, he's still going.
He's doing all right.
Jeez.
He did Doctor Who... before he did Doctor Who, he was actually in The Great Escape as well.
Oh, that's cool. That's one of my favourite movies. I should have a look at who he was.
After starring in several short-lived TV shows, he got a role in Doctor Who. So after playing Ian Chesterton. He appeared in Disraeli, Testament of Youth. I don't know what that is. He was in Coronation Street. He was in an episode of Blackadder. Mm. But he didn't act as much. He switched back to his birth name, Russell Enoch. So his stage name was William Russell.
Right.
So Sir William Russell, Russell Enoch. Russell Enoch's his actual name.
Mm-hmm.
But he always is credited, and he likes to be credited as William Russell whenever he has a Doctor Who role.
Right.
So he goes by Russell Enoch when he does any other acting gig, and then when he's in Doctor Who, he's like, oh, William Russell.
Right. And but he stopped acting as much.
Yeah. I mean, I guess once you've been in a massive thing, maybe he didn't nearly have to. He's got a lot of Doctor Who things here. Right. He's done a lot of audiobooks. He does a lot of... he did a lot of documentary, like... Whenever they release a new Doctor Who story, they're like, this commentary's got William Russell. And everyone's like, well, good. he's still around? Yeah, he's still alive. William Russell's son is Alfred Enoch, who played Dean Thomas in the Harry Potter films, in case you're interested.
I'm not, but that's nice for the listeners.
The listeners might care. I just want to Google, because William Russell, yeah, he's still out. 97 years old, it says.
I knew you were checking to see if he died.
I just wanted to make sure, because that's the page I was looking at was the Doctor Who wiki.
Yeah.
So I was like, maybe it hasn't been updated, but no.
It also would have been horrible for us to be like, blah, 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 and then he's actually dead.
No, he's still around. He portrayed Ian and the First Doctor in a few audio plays, it says. Well, his last film appearance was in the 1998 movie Mob Queen. In 2005, he was in an episode of Poirot.
Yep.
And in 2013, he was in the documentary thing that we'll watch eventually.
Right, right.
But yeah, he's still around.
That's cool.
Yep.
Oh.
So our first... We've lost our original companions now. Susan's gone.
All of them.
William Russell's gone. Jacqueline Hill's gone. And we are stuck with Maureen O'Brien.
A faux Susan.
I shouldn't say stuck with. I no, like Maureen
cool.
O'Brien.
She's pretty cool. Her character is less annoying to start with.
Now, I have said that they were not coming back because they don't come back as main companions, but there are chances for cameos at points. Yep. So you can be like, I remember him.
That's nice.
Yeah.
So what are the theories? Are there theories about why they left? Or is it pretty clear why they left?
I think they just got tired. There's nothing on here that says there was any animosity between any of the actors.
Okay.
I know Verity Lambert, who's the producer who got this, like, Doctor Who created in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
I think she leaves just before William Hartnell leaves, or at the same time. So I think everyone who was, like, originally on the show, because you have to remember, she also struggled a lot because she was a female producer in the 60s.
Mm.
So there was a lot of people who were like, I don't think you're up for being intelligent. You know what I mean?
I do.
In the 60s. So
we've spoken a lot about the 60s in these podcasts.
So she worked quite hard to get the show made.
Yeah.
She served as producer from An Unearthly Child to Mission to the Unknown. So that's a future episode that hasn't come yet. So I think a lot of these people... Like, she had to convince... You put up a lovely quote on Facebook one time that William Hartnell was like, Verity Lambert, she had so much energy, and I was like, I have to do this show. But she actually convinced him to do the show.
Right.
In, you know... Because he was quite a successful actor at that point.
She had to be like, what the hell is this?
Yeah. He was like, I don't understand any of this. And she goes, it doesn't matter. Just say the lines. So, you know what I mean? Or don't say the lines. Just do whatever you do.
Yeah. We'll make it work around
so,
you.
So she had to convince him. She had to convince, like, a camera crew to, like, listen to her. You know what I mean? Like, wow. So you would have gone to a point where you're like, I'm out. And the actors would have been in the same boat. They would have been like, we worked so hard for this thing. I'm tired.
Yeah.
And actors at that point, you know, they would have just gone into another show or something. So I don't think there was anything negative. William Hartnell leaving later, we're going to cut, I think we're like four stories away from that.
Okay.
That is definitely not by his choice.
Oh.
And that comes across just in a really sad way. So.
What a shame.
Because you can even tell now, like, he's a bit forgetful and stuff. I mean, that only gets worse.
So, oh, okay. So that's why they were like, we have to change this.
Yeah. I think he wanted to keep going because it's even mid-season. And yeah. They're like, oh, we gotta. He can't do this.
Wow.
Bill Hartnell, lovely guy.
Good old Bill. You know what's funny too is the fact that he had to leave. Let me say it before you think it's funny. The fact that he has to leave and they had to put someone else in there, and someone might have just randomly thought, let's do this, it's a sci-fi show, let's do this cool thing where he changes into that actor.
Yeah.
Right? They had no idea that that would set up this insane franchise for 60 years.
Yeah. You ready?
How amazing is that?
What are all the names? William Hartnell to Patrick Troughton to John Pertwee to Tom Baker to Peter Davison to Colin Baker to Sylvester McCoy to Paul McGann for an episode to Christopher Eccleston to David Tennant to Matt Smith to Peter Capaldi to Jodie Whittaker now to what was his name? How do I pronounce his name again?
Shruti
Gatwa?
Yeah.
Now, like, it's like 60 years later.
And the only reason that happens is because some random dude probably thought, let's do this cool thing.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
A little tear.
And it actually is probably why the show lasts forever. Because when the show starts to lose a bit of steam, and then they never really, like, move an actor along. But an actor normally goes, all right, I've had... It's normally about three seasons. They're like, this is enough now.
Right.
When a new actor comes in, it gives them a chance to, like, rejuvenate the show a bit. And so everyone's like, oh, I'm interested again.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, it's actually worked not just as a storytelling device, but as, like, a way to keep, like, to renew the show every time a new actor rocks up.
Yeah. I did want to ask one question, and I hope you're not offended by this question.
How do you feel about...
No.
William Hartnell's hair? Good.
You said I remember building up to these episodes, you said, I am really looking forward to watching The Chase.
Yeah.
We've now watched The Chase.
I like to see what it... Like, I like seeing companions go.
Okay.
To see what they do next.
Because my only thing was, I get that that's why it's important.
Yeah.
But I found these episodes okay. I didn't think they were bad or good.
Well, I wish that they'd spent more time on that end bit.
Yes.
You know, maybe linger on the Doctor having to say goodbye to those two. So I was looking forward to seeing those companions leave. Because it is a pivotal moment.
Yep.
But everything around it was bland, I think.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Like, I think the characters were good. And then the fake robot thing was weird.
Yeah.
But I do think... Like, it makes it interesting for the next time someone leaves. Like, how different is it?
Yeah.
Because Susan didn't choose to leave... No. She was left there. But these guys, like, the Doctor was like, it's time for me to let go of you. But then the Doctor did not want to let go of these people.
Yeah.
So I find that interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
And I wonder if he would have done it if Vicky wasn't here.
Oh, true. And you being know? By himself.
Yeah, if he was like, no, now I'm going to be a loner.
Right.
Grumpy old man.
I'm going to give this an 8 out of 13. Which I know is very, very average, but I was kind of like,
I think I'll give it an 8 out of 13 too, and all of that 8 comes down to the relationships between the characters,
yeah.
As opposed to any story that actually happened in this episode.
Yeah.
I do like the premise, like...
Being chased three times.
Yeah, like a like a high speed car chase, except slowly traveling between locations.
Yeah.
I do like that idea. And I even like the imagery of like the TARDIS moving through the vortex.
You know, that was cool.
I don't know how they did that at that time.
And the idea of them landing on a ship, landing,
like moving around
the Empire State Building. Yeah.
Yeah. Moving, like having to constantly move to different locations so they're not caught by the Daleks. I think that's cool.
That was cool.
But the Daleks themselves are a bit meh. I mean, I find them, I think they get better. Even the new series, because their design's very old school.
Yeah.
But they manage to do a lot more darker things with their motives, which I think keeps them scary.
Yeah. You have to.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just a box on wheels, really.
It is a box on wheels.
So, the motive thing is cool.
We actually only have one more story arc in this season.
Is it called...
The Time Meddler.
The Time
Meddler. Now, I told you as well... Now, I have not seen The Time Meddler. But it is also... I'm also looking forward to it. It is a pivotal episode because it's... I'll give you... like a teaser... but not a spoiler.
Okay.
So it's the first time that you see other people who are the Doctor's species.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it too, because just from BritBox, seeing the image for each of the episodes...
The giant... There's one where it's like a giant man reaching through the TARDIS or something.
Well, there's one that looks really cool where it looks like he's having a chat with some guy in dark clothing. It looks like a real weird symbolic thing. I reckon that looks cool.
That character, I won't tell you his name yet, but he becomes kind of like... He hasn't appeared in the new series yet, but he comes around a lot.
He has that look like he's going to be an important character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a good character. He's in a lot of the radio plays too.
Right.
Yeah. So he's good. But no, I look forward to that. So that is a 4-episode arc.
Mm-hmm.
So should we just do all 4?
Yeah.
Round off the season?
I reckon.
And then we'll start talking about how we're going to watch next season. Because next season, we'll have to pick up a few DVDs.
Yeah, there's lots of lost or, episodes, isn't there?
Vimeo, whatever. Wherever you
Daily
find
Motion.
It. Daily Motion. Because some of those episodes have only very recently been released.
Right.
In that style that we watched the cartoon one that time.
Yeah.
And it kind of moves between the film they have and then a cartoon episode. And they still have all the audio, though. They just make cartoons.
I'm glad they're doing that. Especially, they're doing it in time for us, Matthew. It's not for anybody else. It's for our podcast.
Yeah.
And it's working out well.
There's even one down there. The last one of the first Doctor... And the first one of the second Doctor are on DVD right there on my shelf.
Right.
Because that is a similar situation where they lost episodes. They lost episodes of Boom Hartnell's last story arc.
That's insane.
And the first story arc with the second Doctor.
Cool.
But they're very well animated, so that's good.
And this is the same BBC who not only lost that historical stuff, but is upset with us for talking about our
core. For being fans of a big show of theirs.
Of episodes that are 60 years old. Like, come on. You should be like, hey, watch these guys. This show's still cool.
We'll bring them BritBox customers.
Yeah.
How many people have listened to this? I have to check the things. When we finish, I'm going to check how many people have listened to this.
I think over the course of all the episodes, it's maybe a couple to a few hundred total.
That's not bad. I'll take that. Yeah, thank you for listening, everyone.
Thank you. I'm sorry about the YouTube, but I can't fight BBC and YouTube.
Yeah.
We have zero monies.
Give me William Hartnell's cane and I'll show him a thing or two.
Wow.
All right, we should probably wrap up because everything's taking too long.
Okay.
So, thank you for listening.
Thank you. We're back and we'll be back on schedule.
And if you want to see updates and things, you can follow us on Facebook.
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, not YouTube. Goodbye.
Not YouTube. That's a new website we're starting. Not YouTube.
Not YouTube. Yep.
And podcasts are on iTunes, Spotify, There's a link tree that has all the other locations, but it's basically anywhere where you would listen to a podcast. This podcast is there.
Yep. And all the social media has a link to the link tree, which will link you to everything. So we're all connected everywhere and you can't get away.
You can't escape the tree.
We are your Daleks. We've come to eat you. Do they eat people?
I mean, one does.
Oh.
Bye.
Bye.
How are you doing?
I'm reversing the polarity of my ultrasonic screwdriver's power source.
Reverse the polarity.
Reverse. Reverse. Reverse the polarity.
I just reversed the polarity.